In an ideal world, the ministry of Crisis Pregnancy Center wouldn't be needed. But we don't live in an ideal world. And therefore, what they do is vital and cutting edge. And we are pleased as a church to have had a relationship with these fine folks for a good number of years. We believe very strongly in what they are doing. And we would request your prayers for them as they engage this battle day by day. We are pleased to have Toby DeVos with us. I think this is maybe the first time we've brought you to our pulpit, Toby, and we look forward to hearing what the Lord would have you share with us. Would you come and share?
Good morning. Karen and I were talking just a minute ago, and we determined that, I guess, Bennett's mom is more nutrient-minded because we pick Nestle Quick over Ovaltine. So, I don't know, but anything that has chocolate in it, we'll take it, right? Right? I mean, those kids were booking it to children's church, weren't they? Do they do that every week? No, they were excited about children's church this morning. This church has supported the ministry of the Crisis Pregnancy Center of Tidewater long before I came on staff, and I've been on staff for 9 years now. So this is not a new introduction of our ministry to this congregation. However, I cannot assume that all of you understand and know what the ministry of the Crisis Pregnancy Center of Tidewater is. So in brief, let me just say it. Let me share it with you. We are a Christ-centered ministry that is there to bring glory to God by ministering to moms, women, and families that are unprepared for pregnancy. Now, how many of you are parents in here? Raise your hand. All right, then you know what? Everybody's unprepared for pregnancy, right? Right? I mean, with my four kids, we were unprepared every time, and to be honest with you, we're still very unprepared today. So you must be thinking, whew, that's a big ministry. They're ministering to all families that are unprepared for pregnancy. Well, let me narrow it down a little bit for you. The women that we see, they are so unprepared for pregnancy that oftentimes they think their only option is to end the life of their child. That's how scared they are. That's how unprepared they are. And as a Christ-centered ministry, don't you know, instead of bringing judgment and condemnation on them, we need to bring the love of Jesus Christ, right? And so that's what our ministry is about, bringing the love of Jesus Christ and serving these women and helping them so they don't have to feel like that's their only option, because it's not. It's not. But this is a tough challenge for her. This is a tough challenge for her. So we need to be about the business of serving her and helping her. We have been known primarily for our pregnancy centers for 25 years. And in 25 years, thousands of lives have been spared. Thousands of hearts have been spared from a great tragedy in our community because of the ministry of the Crisis Pregnancy Center. And primarily, we work through our four pregnancy centers that we call the KIME centers. And I don't have time to address at all why we call it the KIME centers, but we call them the KIME centers now. And of those four pregnancy centers, one, 3 years ago, we converted into a medical clinic. And it is an amazing moment when a mother looks up on an ultrasound screen and sees the beating heart of her baby for the very first time. That is powerful. No words needed at that point. It is a powerful, powerful moment. And that clinic that we opened up has completely shifted our ministry. We've had a complete paradigm shift. And in 3 years, we have doubled the number of women that we minister to annually. Last year, we helped 1,300 women. 1,277 to be exact. It is an amazing opportunity that God gives us. And I share the clinic. I want to share a story with you. It's not something that somebody would typically share in a gathering like this, but in our clinic in Norfolk, a young woman walked in, and this is typical. She was overwhelmed. She was burdened. It looked like the weight of the world was on her shoulders. I mean, we see that often, but this woman looked particularly burdened. And the nurse manager that day, she'll never forget this woman. She'll never forget this woman. She told this story to me. She said she walked in, and she certainly looked burdened. She chose to have the free ultrasound in the clinic, in the exam room, when the nurse was performing the examination of the ultrasound. The child was over 20 weeks in gestation, over 20 weeks. I don't have time to get into fetal development this morning, but if you can only imagine, that's halfway through the pregnancy. The bones have begun to calcify on that child. That baby is beautifully developed in the womb at 20 weeks. And here's this woman. She was so scared, so unprepared, she was considering abortion. She was there at the exam room, and the nurse said when the ultrasound began, the image was... how many of you have seen an ultrasound image of a baby? It's usually not all that beautiful, is it? It's kind of grainy, hard to make out at times. Not this image. It was so distinct what they were looking at. And the nurse said that the mother stayed shut down. She glanced up one time, and when she glanced up, she looked at that ultrasound, and this baby who was so beautifully formed, his or her little hand just went across the monitor like this, as if it was waving. And you know what that mother did? She waved back. It was an amazing moment. It was amazing. But then it was seconds, not minutes, but it was seconds later that the nurse said, as quickly as joy came to her heart and she made that wave, it was seconds later that that mother shut down again, looked down, never looked up again. Never looked up again. And from what all that we could tell, she left still intending to have an abortion. So here's the question I have for you this morning. What in the world is going on in this world that this mom can't, for just a few minutes, much less a few seconds, enjoy the reality of the new life growing inside of her? What is going on? What is going on? What is going on in this world that she can't, just for a few minutes, enjoy that little one growing inside of her? Let me tell you what's going on in her world. The father of the baby, oftentimes, more than likely, is pressuring her. He is not ready for the financial commitment, the emotional commitment, certainly not a marital commitment. And so oftentimes, he is pressuring her, and he is saying, you have to go through with this. And then it breaks my heart when it gets abusive. The threats are more than idle. Am I right, Karen? What is going on in her world? Let me share what's going on in her world. Her parents are going on. By far, the majority of parents will say this. They'll say, you know what? That is her decision. And they think in that moment, that is empowering. But this is a moment when she needs as much love and direction as she can possibly get. That is not an empowering moment for her. And then it breaks my heart when sometimes... not all the time, but sometimes even the parents make threats and say, if you don't, then you have to leave the house. If you're wondering what's going on in her world, does that clear it up for you just a little bit? Just a little bit. And then when you think about it, her friends have had multiple abortions. The law condones it. She turns on the TV set. And some of our greatest leaders of our time will say they're not even sure if it's life growing inside of her womb. Why do you blame her for the confusion? Why? How could we possibly sit in judgment on this woman? Before I came into this ministry, the question I used to ask was this. I used to ask, how could a woman do that? How could a woman do that? I don't ask that question anymore. The question for me is now, knowing the world that she lives in, how could she not? How could she not? If you think of the culture, since 1973, there have been over 50 million abortions that have taken place in this country. 1.2 million abortions annually. Remember, I said the law condones it. It is legal up until the moment of birth. And you can argue with me afterwards, but up until the moment of birth, it is legal in this country. this is the culture, this is the world that she lives in. Help me out. Give me the peace sign. Give me the two. Come on. Put it up. Give me the peace sign. Keep it up. Guess what? I tricked you. It's not the peace sign. It is the number two. I learned that in elementary school. All right? Keep it up. Keep the peace sign up. This is the number two. And we're going to convert that number two into a one. Go. See? That's a ratio. 2 to 1. I learned that probably in high school. I probably really didn't get it until college. But listen, folks. For every 2 babies born in Southampton Roads, just Southampton Roads, not the peninsula bordering North Carolina or Richmond, just here in Southampton Roads, for every 2 babies born, 1 will lose its life to an abortion. That is overwhelming. And you know, when I speak statistics and numbers, people just don't get it sometimes. For every 2 babies born, 1 will lose its life to an abortion. What that equates to is each and every year in Southampton Roads, and just in Southampton Roads, almost 9,000 little ones lose their life to an abortion each year. And again, numbers are so big we can't process it. I don't have much time this morning, so I need 15 volunteers. Who's going to help me? Just step right up. I'm going to start counting you down. As soon as you start walking up, you got to help me hold a little banner. It's nothing. It's no big deal. You just got to hold a banner. Can you just stand there for about 3 minutes and hold a banner? 15 volunteers. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I need number 11. Got number 11. Number 12. Come on. We can do it. Number 12. 13. If you want lunch, I need 15 volunteers. 14. 14. Do I have 15? Here's what I need to happen. Let's see. Dave. I need you to stand right in the center, brother. Okay. Actually, you know what? You know, you're going to help me. You're going to stand right here next to me. And sir, you'll stand here right next to me. Ma'am, if you'll just stand right here in the center. Let's see, how many do I have on one? Okay, we're going to work this out. Now, the rest of you. Sir, what's your name? You played the guitar this morning, didn't you? Was sounding good, Bill. If you'll just start walking this way, and you'll probably stop over there near the corner of the church there. Yes, sir, if you'll just start walking that way. And sir, if you would follow them and stay about 5 or 6 feet away from them. Okay? Pastor, if you would just do the same and stay about 5 or 6 feet away, same thing here, same thing here, same thing here. Ma'am, if you'll just stay right there. And then if you folks over here would do the same thing, just hit towards the corner of the church, stay about 5 feet apart. There you go. There you go. Now, remember what I shared with you. That's it. Keep going all the way to the corner. Remember I shared with you that each year, what that equates to is almost 9,000 little ones in Southampton Roads and Southampton Roads alone. But you cannot process 9,000 little ones. I don't even have 9,000 in the bank account, so I know I can't process 9,000 little ones. So gentlemen, if you'll take this in. Dave, if you'll take this in. And if you'll just start stretching that way. Ma'am, if you'll just grab it in the middle. And as they come by you, if you just grab a section of the banner, scoot back in a little bit. Come towards me. Grab a piece of the banner. There you go. And just keep going. Now remember I said every year in Southampton Roads, almost 9,000 little ones lose their lives to an abortion. And what that means is, each and every year in Southampton Roads, on this banner, there are little individual sets of footprints. Almost 9,000 individual sets of footprints. There are enough footprints this morning to hug this congregation, and that's just 1 year. Before you get home from dinner on Monday, 35 children will lose their lives to an abortion. Every day. It's going to happen again on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. If you're wondering what's going on in this world, let me ask you, how could she not? Given the culture that she lives in, how could she not? How dare us to bring judgment against her? Now, if you folks would just gently lay this down. And the two gentlemen that were on the ends, if you could just roll it up after service. After service, we can just lay it down. Because you're not going to get lunch if we start rolling right now. And then I'll be in real trouble. Everybody can just lay it down and you can just step over it. If you step on it a little bit, that's okay. what's going on in her world. I talked about the father. I talked about the parents. I talked about the law. I talked about her friends. What about the church that she goes to? That's in her world too, right? What about the church that she goes to? I'm going to tell you, I thought when I came on staff with the Crisis Pregnancy Center of Tidewater, the hardest part of my job would be ministering to women who were so scared they thought that was their only option. And let me tell you, that's a hard job. That is hard. That is difficult. God has called us to it and we're doing it. But I'm going to tell you, the toughest part of my job, by far, hands down, is getting the local church to care about it. I'm going to tell you, the silence from the local church is deafening. It's deafening. It breaks my heart. What does it say about the local church? What does it say about us if 9,000 little ones lose their life each and every year and we remain silent? We say nothing. What does it say? Let's talk about the church. What is the greatest commandment? Somebody asked Jesus, hey Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He said what? Come on, this is the graduate group. This is not like every other church in Southampton Roads. What did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Question. If there are 9,000 little ones that are losing their lives to abortion each and every year and their moms are left on their own with no support, how are we doing with that commandment? Because how well we respond to others very much indicates how well we respond to God. Matthew 25:45, these are easy verses, aren't they? Matthew 25:45 says, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for who? For me. And who is me? Jesus, yes. These women are alone, they are confused, and they are deceived. They are the least of these in our community. If we neglect them, who do we neglect? I don't always get a resounding Jesus when I ask that question. If you don't agree with my theology there, you cannot disagree with my theology here. Because these little ones, they are the least of the least of these in our community. They're the least protected class of Americans in our country. They have no voice. They have no protection. They are the least of the least of these. And if we neglect them, who do we neglect? Jesus. Say it. If we neglect them, who do we neglect? Jesus. We are His body. If we neglect Jesus, that's like decaf coffee. What's the point? Right? Right? You can't neglect Jesus. You can do a lot of things, but you cannot neglect Jesus. There is no sense in coming here and singing or building a building or doing any of the other things we're going to do if we neglect Jesus. The second command, the greatest one, what is it? Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. If there are 9,000 little ones in Southampton Roads losing their lives and we say nothing, how are we doing with that commandment? Have you read recently in the paper, it was a big deal, it was a huge deal, Pastor, you probably saw it, that there's been a huge shift, they call it huge in statistics, a huge shift in that 51% of our country now considers themselves pro-life. If you saw that, raise your hand. It was big on the news, it was everywhere. That recently, in the last couple of weeks, 51% of the country considers themselves pro-life. And that encourages some folks, right? You know what I think? You have to forgive me for this, but I think, so what? So what? So what if 51%, so what if the majority of this country holds an opinion of being pro-life? Who cares about opinions? What about conviction? What if 51% of this country had a conviction in their pro-life beliefs? What if that happened? Let me tell you, it would be different for preborn children. It would be different for moms and babies. Would you agree? If they had a conviction, It would be different. There are 304 million people in this country. 51% represents about 155 million people. If 155 million people had a pro-life conviction, it would be unbelievable. There are 1.5 million people in Hampton Roads, right? What if 51% of those had a pro-life conviction? That's 765,000 people. There would not be 9,000 abortions every year here, would there? There are, in our ministry, we're begging the Lord. We're pleading. We're saying, Lord, let us open another clinic. We want to do another one in Virginia Beach. If we've doubled our clients in 3 years, what if we opened another one in Virginia Beach? But it's tough enough just to keep the doors open right now, right? Everybody's having a tough time in the economy. Let me challenge you this way. There are 1,000 churches in this area. What if 51% of the churches had a pro-life conviction? I would guarantee you that over 90% have a pro-life opinion. But what if 51% of the 1,000 churches had a pro-life conviction? I will guarantee you we would already have the clinic opened in Virginia Beach. We'd have one here in Chesapeake. We'd have two in Norfolk. We'd have one in Suffolk. And we'd have one in Portsmouth. Am I right? I am so right. How do I know this? This church is the exception. I can't tell you how thankful I am. This church has supported our ministry financially. You have come out as volunteers. You were just out at the Walk for Life longer than I've ever been here. And get this, 1,000 churches in this community, only 85 churches in 2008 supported our ministry from their budget. 85 out of 1,000. Imagine what would happen if 510 churches decided to start supporting. We would be everywhere. Now, I know some of you are thinking, Toby, that baby was 20 plus weeks. I don't care what you say about the world that she lives in. I just cannot reconcile in my mind that she would do that. How could it be? You're still asking the question, how could it be? And let me end here, because this is very important. This is very important. One of the guys in our ministry, well, the only other guy on staff, Chris, used to be a missionary in China. And Chris shared with me that there, in the place where he was ministering, the women, when they found out they were pregnant, they would go away. They would go away to have their baby. And the reason why they would is because if it was a boy that they had, everything was okay. If it was a girl, or if the child had a handicap, the child would be in the river in that region. Some of you are thinking, how could a mom look at an ultrasound picture of a woman at 20 weeks and go to an abortion clinic? I would say to you, the same way that a woman could give birth in China and place her child in that river. You think we are talking about abortion today, and we absolutely are not. Abortion is a symptom of a greater, darker spiritual reality, and you know what that is. Don't you? Abortion is a symptom of a greater, darker spiritual reality. We live in a world that is lost, confused, and deceived, and only Jesus Christ is the answer to that. Right? They could do it because they are blind. They could do it because they cannot see. They don't know truth. Don't bring judgment. Bring truth. These women need to know the way, the truth. The life. This church has a committee that voted and said, we want to give money to Crisis Pregnancy Center. Probably as a congregation, you affirmed it. Several of you volunteered. And I've already lifted this church up. I'm so grateful for you. But right at this moment, I am not talking to South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church. I am talking to you. And I'm asking you, how are you doing with loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind? And how are you doing with loving your neighbor? Thank you.